Gentlemen.
Big, big, big.
How are we, fellas?
What's going on, mate?
Good, mate.
Great news. We've been on the phone to the Mount Gambier Mental Asylum.
Oh, no.
And we've secured an early release.
Oh, no.
For the man, the legend.
Here he is in the flesh.
Our good friend.
Big Balls Baker.
Big Balls Baker.
Big Balls Baker.
Jesus Christ, that's Jason Bourne.
Welcome, mate.
Thanks, boys. Good to be here. Thanks for the nice welcome.
Yeah, that's as kind as you get for me. So yeah,
that's right.
That's true.
Well, Corey, we promised you, mate, part of your contract of taking the big prize last year, we promised you a bit of equity in the footy gods. So, yep. Yeah, we're happy to have you on the podcast and we can get through some preseason stuff. So, first of all, congratulations for last year, mate.
Thanks, mate. It was really nice taking your money. So,
I don't think we have to talk about it too much, do we?
Yeah, we don't have to. I'll probably cut this out. But
yeah, that's right. Yep. Yeah,
we'll talk about it next year too.
No, that's right.
You're very good.
He's a confident man. He moved over from AFL Fantasy and he robbed us blind.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Bet it felt good.
So how'd you feel after last year? You pretty happy with how you ended up?
A bit frustrated.
Yeah.
Last 2 years I've been in the top 1% going into the last round and missed out.
Yeah, the wheels fall off.
I've run out of trades the last few years, so I just want to get that top 1%, really.
That's the big one, right? It's running out of trades because your team looks great and then a few things go wrong towards the end of the year.
And I feel all for over. You, I really feel for you, I do.
Yeah, we do. Very empathetic.
Say that again.
I'm glad I'm the only one here with a pair of socks and a hat, mate. That's good. Keep that streak going.
Oh, you need the hat, so.
Oh, wow. We're going that early, are we? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Very good.
Proud to say I'm a perennial loser, but come back every year, clear eyes, full heart, ready to go.
What was it, perennial 30K finisher?
That'll be cut out.
Nah, that's too harsh. You'll be better this year, Big.
Have a great first quarter. Didn't have a great second quarter. In fact, I didn't think he had a great game.
Didn't have a great seven seasons of playing Supercoach.
Summed up well by Bloody there, for sure.
We digress. Everyone has their highs and their lows, guys, but the main thing is we turn back up and we get going.
Every week we'll turn up, Pig. Don't worry about that.
Right, so we are into the first round of match simulations.
Yes, plenty happening.
Couple games
plenty
in.
Happening, yep.
So I think we should maybe have a look over some of the games that we've played and then we can probably get stuck into our teams, which is a bit of a hot topic. We're only, how many weeks out are we?
Two?
Yep.
I think 2 weeks.
Something like that, yep. Yeah, 2 weeks. So, Corey, how's your team going, mate? What's the plan? What's the ritual when you start a new season? Do you tinker first day of opening or do you just wait until maybe the last moment to get stuck into it?
I tend to start pretty late because it's just too much happens.
Yep.
It's like I put a team together maybe a month ago and there's already been a bunch of injuries and roster changes. And you just don't really know.
Well, there you go. Look, at Cam Guthrie came into my team about 24 hours ago and he's been exited to the left. After 7 seconds.
Yeah, lost the 7 seconds. Sad.
Yeah, it's an age-old story for some guys. Mm. So
might be great news for Jai Clark, though.
That's huge. Yep. Yeah, that's a great call.
Definitely.
Jai Clark's one that really we had big hopes for last year, didn't quite make it onto the park for long enough. So this is the benefit from Ken Guthrie's loss, which sucks.
He looked great. Yeah, I had a close eye on Jai Clark today and he was very good.
Yep, so the first game, it was Kangaroos and Collingwood, right?
Well, the first game was actually Melbourne and Richmond. On Sunday, because of course, you know, they're round zero teams, so they're obviously getting their pre-season games in early.
Yep.
Plenty to talk about. So Caleb Windsor was pretty good pick on a wing. He played the whole game and looked pretty solid. So he's obviously a cash cow that we can keep an eye on.
Mark the return of the pale pig.
He was out there.
Big Clarence Oliver.
He was out there, Clary. For some reason it was weird. Like they played him with the VFL team. I don't know what's happened there, if there's some sort of stipulation in his return to footy or something. But, yeah, he played with the twos and, was fine. He was good. Thompson Dow was good pig for the Tigers.
Looks like
he's a little cashy to keep an eye on.
Yeah, 250K.
Yeah, 250 or so,
Looks like he's got a spot in the midfield. Corbett, what do you think at Clary, early field? Do we trust him? Do we wait and see? Or
he's playing. I'll always trust him.
That's true.
Very cool.
He's the best Supercoach scorer of the last 10 years.
It's very disrespectful not to have him in your team, right?
Oh, I can understand it, especially with the bye early. You're going to want him at some point in the year, and he's a massive pot at the moment.
That's true, very true. Mm-hmm. I know price value pretty good. He's got a lot to prove. Do you Do you pick him over Bont, or do you need to have them both?
I probably wouldn't pick him over Bont, just because of that early buy, like Corey said, and yeah, a few little question marks over what his plan is, you know, with footy this year. But both ideally.
So what about Gorney? How did Gorney go in the
Gorney was
pre-season?
Very good.
Very
yep.
good.
Yeah, he only played half a game, so they managed him after half time, and he ran laps for the remainder, and yeah, he was very good.
Right, who rocked after that, do you know?
Will Verrill or something like that. He was okay. He rocked after halftime and he was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And Gorney was good. He was a big tick in the box for me from Gorney.
So you're looking like, it's looking like a big season as a sole ruckman, surely.
Yeah, he did all the ruck work. Shacky just gave me a bit of a chop out every now and then, but I can't see him not doing most of the ruck work this year.
Yeah, okay. What about, is it Kane McAuliffe?
Kane McAuliffe, no, he didn't really feature that much. Yep. In fact, I think he actually just played in the twos for the most part, from what I recall. Yeah, I didn't really have many notes on him, Pig. So
okay.
I think he was more in the VFL. So, obviously fringe best 22.
So still a real question mark.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, they had a lot of people out too, the Tigers.
Yep.
No Dusty, no Taranto, these sort of guys.
Hopper? So, did Hopper play?
Hopper played, yeah. Hopper was solid.
Hopper was their only mid that did play, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Hopper was the only main mid that played. He was good.
Such an unknown with a new coach, right? Every time a new coach comes in with Uze, you just don't know how teams are going to line up.
But Gibkus was good as well, Pig. Ticked the box for me.
Do you think he's got any scoring ability as a cash cow?
Not massive.
Like 40s, 50s?
Yeah, 60s. He'll probably average 60.
55, 60, I think is pretty reasonable.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd love having him on the ground
as a
scoring player. But if you can probably spend up for your bench, it's probably worth it because he's obviously locked into the best 22. He's a good player. So
right. So technically that was our first game of the match team. And then was it the Kangaroos game?
Yeah, then Kangaroos and Collingwood, yep.
That was a great game because it was just so super coach relevant.
Yes, there was a lot going on. Yeah, took a lot of notes on that one, Pig.
Absolute abundance.
Who do you want to know? Fire away, man. I got heaps here.
I'm going to start.
Jai Simpkin, you want to start there?
No, we don't want to go Jai Simpkin. I'm going to bring up a visual band.
Oh, we love you, Jai. Come on.
I'm going to name a few. They may or may not be sitting in my team right now. So okay. Toby Pink, is it?
Toby Pink was okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Serviceable.
He wasn't as good as his last game.
Yep.
He was really good in the intra-club. And, only serviceable in this one.
Yep. Looks strong body, though, so maybe...
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. He's definitely a good player, but...
He might get the games over maybe Biggie.
It's going to be out of Biggie and Callan Dawson as well for that spot.
Yeah. What about Nicky Dacos, the Macedonian
Big
prince?
Tip. Yeah. Very
amazing.
Good. He was probably best on ground until he came off at halftime.
Played a half a game. Looked like he had an on-ball role.
Yep.
Which is good.
Very good.
Corbett, what do you think? Dacos have to have him?
I currently don't.
Okay.
Wow. Can we unpack that later on?
Is that
good
strategy or just pure ignorance?
Say that again.
Which one is it?
I guess we'll find out about round five.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, fair call.
Yeah. So does the early buy deter you guys or what? With Dacos?
You can't have too many guys having the bye early. So there's a few others that I'd like to have in my team. So, and I also think he'll come down in price.
Okay.
I think he'll have a slow start with the matchups. So.
Okay.
Mm.
All right. So
I think there's merit for both.
Merit
arguments.
For both, right? Yep.
It's hard something that could destroy my season.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. Yeah, that's what we'll be sending that out to the football gods.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Okay, we've got Colby McKercher. So pick three, is he?
Yeah, pick two, I think.
Pick two.
He was good. Some stints in the middle as well. So
played on the ball, played behind the ball. Yep. I've seen there's a Facebook page, a Supercoach page that counted possessions on the weekend. So during the week, which is pretty unreal. So I thought he was pretty good, serviceable. Every time he touched the ball, didn't look out of depth, but it said he had 20, 25 touches or something like that. Yeah. So it's very hard to tell, right, when you haven't got the stats in front of you. So definitely a good option at 200K. I think he's going to play, but geez, there's like eight young Kangaroo midfielders that I really like the look of. Mm. So, So we got Colby McKercher. I'm holding on to one here. I want to talk to him.
Yeah, good. I know who it is too. Yeah. I know exactly who it is.
Okay. How about Finlay McRae?
Yeah, solid. He wasn't great, to be honest. He was good early, but then sort of fell away a little bit as
kicked
the game went on.
Kicked a good goal. Started on the ball.
Kicked a good snagger. He got plenty of midfield time. The role wasn't the issue.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think he's sort of borderline best 22 as well.
I don't think he plays.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to break into that team.
It's a very good team.
So maybe sub.
Yeah.
If he lights it up next week, he might get an early go.
I'll tell you what, at the start of the game, I was liking Finlay, and then I ended up loving Sullivan. 26-year-old, he I think he was the Bulldogs VFL captain.
He was, yes.
Yep. He's like built to play football already. He yep. came on in the second half.
He was good, actually. He looked my notes,
really, really good.
So. Yeah, no, definitely kicked a nice goal as well.
Kicked a nice goal, was really good around the contest. Yeah, he looks like a bit of a no frill. He almost reminded me of Liberatore, to be honest, a little bit. So okay. Huge call for a half of a match sim game, but I'm here to make the big calls, right?
Mm. But again, it's hard. Yeah, hard team to get into. So.
If it was a lower ranked team, I'd feel like this guy could be almost one of the cash cows you pencil in with the older players like Tom Mitchell still as well Pendles. Floating around. Pendles, yep. Side Bottom might be hard, but my point is, I guess Finlay and McRae probably dropped down a rank by the end of that game after seeing
Sullivan. He wasn't outstanding. He was okay.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know. I don't think I've ever talked about this guy before.
Any other ones you want to talk about before him? Not really. I'll maybe just mention Zach Fisher. I know.
Yeah,
he's been sort of talked about in the preseason. I'm not sure if you had him in your team, Corey, or not. But
he's floated in and out.
Yeah, so he was playing off half back. He looked pretty good. Yeah, cool. He's returned from his hamstring, so took kick-ins and he looked
okay, really good.
Yeah.
Corey, talk to me about the big ruckman, Tristan Cherry.
Yeah, you're pretty hot on Tristan Cherry.
Yeah, I'm tossing up between him and Grundy at the minute. I think they might perform quite similarly this year, so I just think there's a fair bit of value with him this year.
We named him in our top four value picks for the ruck on Patreon.
He came in second, I think.
Yeah, I liked him. Obviously, no more Goldstein. He looks like a sole ruckman, I think. Yeah,
they've got no one.
I know. They've got Callum Coleman-Jones, who played up forward, looked pretty average, actually. Yeah. I thought I had big raps on that guy. I thought he was going to be great, but it's still early, but I don't think he's going to – I don't think it's going to be a 50-50 split. I think by the look of it, Cherry's going to ruck what?
Oh, he'll ruck 90%.
He'll be doing most of it for sure.
So if he can make the impact, take a few marks, then, I don't see why he can't push towards that 100.
I think it's pretty disrespectful to think that he's going to match it with Grundy.
Say that again.
Well, say that again.
Grundy hasn't really done it in a while. I need to say it again. I think Grundy will be good, but I think they'll both be 105.
Yeah, but what has Cherry done, mate?
Sweet of the Cherry. He could be singing.
Talk
this,
me through it.
He could be singing this tune by the end of the year.
When he's been solo ruck, he's actually scored really well.
That didn't work.
I'm sorry. He will be sorry. I'm sorry.
Grundy. I'm sorry.
We're talking a guy who's gone like 130 before.
Yeah.
Versus a guy who's played about 15 games and gone
look, I don't hate. I don't hate 70. Either. I think Grundy will. I think you have to back history, but Cherry is a good option.
He's good value.
I do have Grundy right now, but I'm seriously considering him.
Yeah, I don't mind.
You say what do you say? 50k or something? So not a bad option. But I'm a Grundy guy every day of the week.
I think you're trading both of them anyway.
Eventually,
so I want the guy making the more value, and if you can match him. Pretty close for the first 10 weeks and I can trade to English.
And after working through the ruck, the primo rucks and the value peaks, there's a real trend. You notice after the first few ruckmen, there's a lot of consistency issue of getting 28 games and a lot of them struggle to have back up 100-plus seasons. So you realise how good Grundy and Gorn and that have been. But like Cherry, Lynn...
Flynn,
West Coast.
Yep.
And then also, obviously, Big Briggsy. Some of these younger guys, big fella from Essendon, help me out here.
Draper.
Yeah, they're all guys that I think have got potential to go 100, but they need to play 20 games. So that's the question mark. Can Cherry pull
a full
season out?
That's,
he's a big boy.
I've just got some question marks over him, that's all.
Yeah.
Oh, whereas Grundy, I'm...
valid.
Grundy, he's got runs on the board, so...
All right, I've got two more here before we unveil the king.
Yep.
The young prince of Arden Street, George Wardlaw.
Yeah, he's okay.
I liked him.
He was good.
Half a game, but hard to say.
He played half the game. Had some really, really nice moments busting out of the contest.
He's got a bit of aggression about him. I really like it. So priced awkwardly, 300+K, I think.
He's sort of 360 or 370, I think.
Yeah.
And how many North Melbourne players can you have in your team? But
well, the answer is 8 at the moment.
that's right.
Not really.
I got
5.
I've got a few as well. He's had a great preseason and obviously highly touted, number 2 or maybe number 3 or 4 pick. So
something like that. Yep.
Yep.
I think he went 3 to Sheezel's 2, then
yes,
he was 3.
Yes, he was. You're right.
Hey, hell of a time to be a Kangaroo supporter. So I haven't,
exciting. Yeah, no,
haven't
exciting.
Been able to say that my definitely. Whole life. I'm 34 years old. We missed the late 90s. Besides that, it's been a long time between drinks. So definitely. Very exciting. Your boy, you said, is going to win the Brownlow next year. This year, LDU.
Yeah, I like LDU. Yeah. He's very good.
Looked all right. Worked his way into the game.
Yeah, slow start. But, you know, guys like him, I think, just sort of take it pretty cruisy in these sort of games. You know, they're not really going full bore. So,
yeah.
No, he's ticking boxes for me, Pig. Just getting through.
Obviously, I've seen it a little bit, just not, nothing definitive.
I've seen enough, But obviously the fitness is a big one for him. So as long as he's finishing out games. And
guys, to finish this off, I just want to wind you back 20, maybe 1 week, not 24 hours, maybe 7 days ago.
Yep.
We had a little debate on this podcast.
Yes.
A little chat between two young pops.
Yep.
Hayden Young.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Hayden Young versus Harry Sheezel.
Is that his name? I don't really know him. Sheezel, Harry Sheezel. Have you heard of him?
I certainly have.
1 week later, what a week in football. What a week in football. What can we say now about Harry Sheezel?
Definitely, You made some good points, Big, and you've turned me. I'm convinced.
He looked amazing, right? Yep. At the start of the game, we had a chat pre-game and we talked about, okay, what's he going to be like in the midfield, or is he going to play predominantly half-back? And I think the first quarter was a bit slow, but as he worked into the game, I think in the third quarter, he would have had like 15 touches or something like that. He just looked amazing. So I think he has the potential to be an absolute star in season two, but also the top-ranked defender. I'm going to go out and say
that. Wow, big. Yeah.
He'll be close, but it's hard with Dacos.
That's very hard with Dacos. That's true. But yeah. Two young pups, two young up and coming guns. Like you can't be stepped on, Harry Sheezel, right?
No, he was great. I wanted to see how he would go, in the middle, and he was fantastic. Yeah,
pretty reasonable question. Like your first year, you don't really have first years like that. You know, Dacos apart, and maybe Sam Walsh in his first year was incredible. Yep. But it's definitely not a silly question to question it if he's going to make that jump into the midfield, Pig. But I hope that little sample of a few days ago was enough to think, geez, he has to be in. So
And encouragingly as well, he went back. Instead of, being forced forward, when he wasn't in the middle, he was going to half back.
That's why I was off him for a while, because I thought he'd go sit forward to rest. But
And we talked about that, and I was pretty confident because of obviously Larky, Zerha, and then Dersma being drafted. But Paul Curtis, he actually looked like an elite.
He looked serious footballer.
He kicked four or five. Mm-hmm. He looked really good. And Blake Drury as well. He's a young guy. I think he's actually got a bit of value.
He's coming through. Yep. Yeah.
He was like a little angry little red guy, and he was
angry ant.
He looked really good. So that made me think even less they're going to play Sheezel up forward.
Yep.
So the future's bright. Yeah.
Yep. I was more concerned with having Fisher, Colby, and Sheezel in the back line.
Yeah. Well, that's it, because Fisher's basically locked into that half back.
One of them is defending a player.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. True. But I think that's North Melbourne's game plan this year. I think they're going to be really attacking from the back line.
Yep.
They sort of tried it last year, but it's hard when you got the likes of Zeebel back there and stuff. So I think it's going to be exciting to watch them move the ball from the back half.
Hey, guys, I realise we've just spent an hour talking about one game. There are so many players, so let's move on. What's the next game?
Who do we have? So Sydney and GWS played today, Pig. So the first of three games.
So you had like the likes of Brody Grundy, Tom Green.
Yep. Build, Cadman. Yeah, Cadman, Briggs, obviously. James Jordan.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Angus Sheldrick, I know he's sort of on the radar for some coaches.
Yeah, he had a quiet one today, but there's been huge raps about him.
Yeah, we didn't get much of a go. He played.
Taylor Adams didn't play either, did he?
Taylor Adams didn't play, no.
Yeah. Do you mind just giving us a little run through some of your notes?
So like I said, Sheldrick came on in the last quarter. Yeah, didn't get much of a go at it. Actually, Harvey Thomas is a Giants Academy guy.
Okay.
He was okay. He's a small forward. Obviously, no Toby Green, so. You know, may not get a game, but I was impressed with what he did.
Harvey Thomas. I need to...
Harvey Thomas. Pick 30... Going on, I'm gonna pick 30-odd or something. Yep. Giants Academy.
Okay.
So whenever you see an Academy pick, you sort of, your ears prick up a little bit.
So you got 117K, 117,300, mid-forward.
Yep.
So not on the rookie list or anything? Is his senior listed?
No, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So he was solid. Goulden was managed. Yeah, he came on in the second half.
Yeah.
But dominated when he came on. So...
Say that again.
Yeah. He looked good, Pig.
I'm going to eat those words, good. Aren't I, yes, before the season even starts. So
yeah, I think he had about 20, 25 touches in just in the second half.
Yeah.
So he was very good. Yeah, and we mentioned Cadman.
Tom Green.
Cadman was very good. Cadman kicked four or five goals today.
That's right. He's a number one pick.
Yeah, that's
he's
right.
He's got a really athletic profile. Like, apparently he's a great kick, good mark, but he's athletic. He's not like a big lumbering guy. 127K, you have to look at him, right?
I think, yeah.
He's going to play.
Yeah, I think so.
A little slow burn bench option, I think, is probably the go with him.
I think that's a good.
But he really impressed me. Yeah, he looked much more comfortable at the level. Tom Green was really good.
Yep.
So ticking the box for him. Getting some attention from Rowbottom, actually. So
Fleabottom.
Yeah, Fleabottom. But he pretty much worked through that pretty well. Who else do you want to know, Pig? Tommy Green.
Early call, he's the pick.
He's the pick. He's my tip for the
I want to know about Briggsy.
Kieran Briggs. So he obviously went against Grundy. It was okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, obviously he's really good. He's a really good tap ruckman.
Yeah.
He's a big guy. And he looks a bit fitter, so.
Okay.
All right. Good.
I don't know if he played Finn Callahan.
Didn't play.
He's
got a serious issue at the moment, I think.
Yeah, I think he's out for a while.
Yeah, I don't know what it is off the top of my head. Maybe a stress fracture or something. Sure, I don't know what it is, but he's missing for a while.
There's another guy I really want to have a look at. Didn't play, Darcy Jones.
Yeah, he didn't play. No, he didn't play that one. James Jordan, I know he's a pretty popular guy.
Yep.
Value forward option. He was good. He was really good. One of Sydney's best today, actually, on the wing. There's some stints on the inside as well, but he got plenty of it.
So Grundy did enough then?
Grundy did enough?
Yeah.
Grundy was probably best on ground, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Grundy did enough.
Okay, that is enough.
Yeah, he was very good today, Grundy.
Yeah, we're humble men. We're just blue-collar guys here. We don't ask for a lot, but we'll take that. Thank you very
really,
much.
I really like what I saw from him.
Yeah.
Yep. So if you weren't going to pick him before, definitely consider it because he was up and about, the big boy.
Did he play forward at all?
No.
Oh, there's a pig on the ground. Pig.
Not at full
There wasn't
forward.
A pig at full okay. forward for him. No.
All right, that's good. I think that's enough.
That's probably about it. Maybe Jacob Weir. I know he's a rookie price guy. Yeah. He was a full time wing for the Giants, so he's one to look at for sure. I think.
What about?
I think he'll probably do Callahan's spot. He was good.
What about Lockie Ash?
Nah, he's out.
Too many good options, right?
I'm not even looking at Lockie Ash. He's playing like a back pocket type.
Lockie Dust, you're out.
No.
Say that again.
Yeah, no.
Lucky good. Dust. Banned. There's so many options. And, you know, I'll hate to go back to Harry Shizu again, but I will. I'm going to do it. Like I said, I think he could be the top defender, but I had him in that group of Houston, Aiden Young, Shizu, and now, like, I didn't even consider him next to Sicily and Stewart and Dacos, but now I think he could be up there. Something to think about.
Yep, definitely.
All right, next game, it was your boys.
Yes, the Catters versus the Blues.
I don't think I've got a blah. Boom.
Oh, come on, mate. You got to love the Cats.
All right, tell me, boys. First of all, Corey, what do you think of the just in general, how do you think Geelong going to bounce back this year?
I think they can push top four if they're healthy. If they're not, they could miss finals.
Okay.
Yeah. Talent's there, but they're very old.
That's true. Yep.
Yeah, and it's right on the borderline.
You've got the sample size of a dismal year last year, and then you've got one of the best premiership winning teams the year before, right? So there's a bit of a gap. It could be anywhere in between that.
And Hawkins and Cameron are still going to be a problem.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. I think they're both definitely got talent.
Just got to get it down there.
And then you've got obviously Stengel, and then you've got
Ollie Henry.
I really like Ollie Henry. He's made a bit of a silly move leaving Collingwood, and then a year later they beat Haddie. No, hindsight.
Wonderful thing.
But, all right, so before we actually go and talk about today's game, Corey, what are some of the players you think might be relevant or you're looking forward to seeing this year?
From the Cats. The only one I'm keen on Tom Stewart. I think most people are.
You think he holds his value as the primo?
Yeah, it's just who he is now. He's been there for a long time. Joy Clark will be good as a rookie cash cow.
Yep.
I really like Max Holmes, but I just don't have the guts to do it.
He's a weird price. You probably can't start with him.
But I think he's a gun.
But he should get defender status for someone to look at.
I quite like Max Holmes, so that's not a bad call either.
The other one's probably Tanner Bruin.
Yeah.
Especially now with Guthrie out. He's a pure mid for us.
You think he's ready to take the step up?
Yeah, his second half of the year last year was actually pretty solid.
Yeah, that's good. So plenty of options there. You mentioned Toby Conway. Before the podcast as well. A little pricey. Doesn't really make sense to put him as the third right.
180 or something, I think. Yeah, so it's awkward. But he was very good today. Okay. I was impressed. He's, yeah, highly touted, and he moves pretty well. He's like 207 or something.
Yeah.
Yep. Moves really well for a big man. So
he is old.
No, not quite. He's not a vampire.
I was going to say, that's breaking.
207 centimetres.
That is massive. 207 centimetres is massive.
Yeah. So, no, he's good. He's got a big future ahead, I think.
All right. So, they played the Blue Baggers.
Blue Baggers, yep.
Fresh off prelim final from last year. Yeah. Pretty exciting year. They've got an exciting list. So, no Walsh.
No Walsh. Who else is missing? No, Cripps played.
They had pretty much everyone else.
No Zach. Almost a full team. Zach Williams missing. There's a couple missing.
Zach Williams. So, how do we read into that? I heard he's not ready early, but he might be ready for round one or round zero.
Well, they said that he might play next week.
Yeah.
Okay. In the preseason, preseason
game.
We
need to see it.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Do you have him in your team?
He's in there, but he could be gone very quick.
Yeah,
that's true.
I'm not sure we can pick him if we don't see him.
If we don't see him, there's no way he starts in my team.
That's fair.
But at least he's a round zero guy. So you know if he's playing round zero, he's ready to go.
You can always trade him up somewhere, him. Okay, that's good. So there's a couple here that off the top of my head that I wanted to see.
Ollie Hollins or Elijah?
Elijah coming from
Ollie Hollins is a lot better than Elijah today.
Was he?
Yeah, Elijah was quiet. He sort of played majority forward. Ollie was really good, actually. He
had a great debut year.
He played, obviously, Walshy was out, so he sort of seemed to fill in for Walshy for the day.
Yep.
Inside and outside. He was pretty good.
What about Orazio?
Orazio, yeah.
Oh, there's a pig on the ground. There is a pig at full forward.
He wasn't great.
Yeah.
He had some really nice moments. Yeah, I don't know.
Flash in the pan type player.
Yeah.
That's just who he is now, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we can pick him.
Nah. I like the name.
It's an awkward price. And
does he even play?
Yeah, that's the other question. That's right.
I think he plays if he's fit.
I think he'll play.
Because they've got that much talent around him.
Like, I'd rather play Owies and Motlop.
Motlop's a big one and always, but there could be a room. No Silvani as well now as well. So, I don't know.
Mm.
I think you play him. I think he, especially if they're playing like at Marvel for a game, why wouldn't you play him on a pretty good deck? So,
See how he goes. But I think we can probably just avoid him for now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So no huge takeouts. Who rucked for the Blues? I'm interested to see. Was it
TDK? Was rucking. Pitnet wasn't playing. So Tom Nakonning was doing the ruck work.
Okay.
Sean Manor was one that, I know that's pretty popular guy.
I've got him,
So he played second half.
Yeah.
So he was good. He was very good.
Yeah.
He got plenty of it.
As an inside mid or?
Mid slash forward.
Yeah, very good.
Yep, so he pushed forward as well. Yeah, he ticked the box for me. He's definitely a chance to play. He looked good, especially with Guthrie out now.
I'll give you a couple of minutes to talk about the fattest man to ever pull on the hoops. The fat rat himself.
Patrick Dangerfield.
Patrick Dangerfield.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to spend too much time on him, Pig.
Say that again.
Yeah, he was...
He's not relevant.
He's not relevant, but he was pretty good today.
Yeah.
He kicked a couple of snaggers and got plenty of it. Surprisingly, they didn't manage him, which I thought they would. He played the whole game, and he was pretty good.
He would still have a few monster scores, but
just
not consistent.
Not consistent,
I think it's probably not.
And that takes us into the game in the afternoon. I watched most of it. I'm not sure how much of the game
I haven't seen
watched.
Any of it, unfortunately.
Yeah, okay.
That's going to be my bedtime viewing tonight.
So I'll just get in your jammies, a bit of popcorn.
Yep, that's right. Yep, definitely. Get the notepad out and, scan my eyes over a few players.
Right, well, I'll tell you what I seen. I seen Flanders lining up in the middle.
Good.
He looked like part of the main rotation.
Excellent.
It was like Tuke Miller, Anderson.
Was there any out? Who was anyone missing?
There is a few out. You might have to double check that while I go through this. But there's some big names playing. There's some big names. So Bowdy Humphrey looked okay. I seen him in patches. I'll tell you one I'm going to mention in my team before, but Alex Sexton. He's got a new role.
Yep.
Playing off the halfback. He's
been spoken about a lot.
He looked good from what I seen. Witts rucked well. And Brisbane looked... like they haven't missed a beat since the grand final.
Wow.
So all the usual suspects.
O'Neill, obviously, today.
Kitty Coleman looked pretty good off the halfback. They had Wilmot taking kickouts. I don't know if he's that relevant. No Neil, like you said. Could be wrong, but I've seen a lot more of Rayner on the ball.
Mm.
So that was pretty good.
Yep.
Bailey looked pretty good. They just looked good. I think Charlie Cameron had about 5 goals in the start of the second quarter.
He was bagging out.
They'll be up there again this year, Brisbane, for sure.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if there's any more younger kids. Jasper Fletcher played.
Matty Rao, how did he go?
Yeah, he looked okay, honestly. I looked at that midfield and, he's a good player, but, you've got Tuke, Anderson and Flanders. I think they're all above talent wise, but you need Matt Rowe. You need him to play our way. Tuke Miller looked great, and he's always been a great option for me. So I might have to reconsider him. Darcy McPherson and Tsitsas, Jimmy Tsitsas, he's playing like a defensive forward role. So I can't tell you what he is off the top of my head, but I'm sure he's still a rookie price. He's barely played the game.
He'd be 120 or something.
Yeah, he could be an option. But other than that, I haven't seen the rest of the game, but it looked, Brisbane looked really good.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching that, definitely.
Yeah, all right.
Heaps of games on tomorrow as well, Pig, so.
Yeah, my boy's playing, Podali Power. Yes,
playing the Crowies.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see that. So, looks like all our new recruits are playing down back. We've got a few outs, but obviously I just want to get eyes on the big three, Butters, Rosie and Horn Francis,
yep.
Just amazing, these guys. It could be anything. I'm keen to see Ollie Wines. Now that Guthrie's gone, I think it's a bit risky now to go Wines with that many midfielders we've got now, but I can definitely foresee Wines averaging 85, 90 again. So
I think 90's reasonable.
90's right. Yeah. For someone in the mid 400s, that's probably like on par. He's not going to make you money, but if you've got someone getting consistently 90, that's pretty good. You need those guys, right? The stability in your team sometimes as well.
Yep.
All right. So what are the other games? I guess Bulldogs haven't played yet.
Yeah, Doggies are playing tomorrow. Bombers are playing tomorrow. Hawthorn, St Kilda. There's plenty going on tomorrow, Pig.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys I want to see. I want to see Martin. I'm going to mention him in the next couple of segments.
Yep.
Zach Reed, I think it is. Zach Reed. Darcy Wilson. I'm not sure if he's playing. Hopefully he's having a game.
The Saints,
Jack Steele, I don't know what the go is with him. Is he playing? Or?
Apparently he's flying.
Yep, he's
playing. Okay, so Rowan Marshall, there's a few.
There's not too many missing tomorrow, which is good, just looking through the team sheets now. Obviously, Jack McRae's not playing, but apart from that.
Riley Sanders, obviously, is the big one for everyone.
Yeah.
We want to see Riley Sanders play.
That'd be good to watch him.
And Tim English, and Bontempelli, if they're playing. So
There's a few, definitely.
Just list the team, Pig.
That's pretty much, I've just told you my team, there's plenty still happening for the round, and then we're straight into one more preseason game, official preseason game, and then it's showtime.
Yep, not long now, Pig, exciting.
All right, we might have a quick 10 to 15 second break, and then we'll move into just a few quick fire questions for you boys, and maybe we'll get our teams going.
All right.
We're back.
We're back, baby.
Didn't really, not much happened, but we're back. I took a collective breath. Corey, how are you going, mate? How's it been so far?
It's been good.
It's been good?
Yeah. Very enjoyed being here.
What was that?
Good.
Enjoyed being here.
Enjoying being here, First and last view. No, it's just...
The more the merrier.
Good to have you on. We're a good little unit here, and we're all looking forward to you. Excited for the year in general, just besides Supercoach, should be a good year.
Yeah, I think the premiership race itself is wide open. I could see 6 or 7 teams winning a flag this year.
Definitely, yeah, I think so too, There's a few right at the top, and there's a few teams that I'm really keeping an eye on. I think they could really go gangbusters this year. So it all comes down to fixture, winning the close games like Collingwood, showing that you can do, getting on a bit of a streak. And then if you're a team like my team, Port Adelaide, or an interstate team, is securing that top four home final, can really change the course of your season. So, right, do we want to go quick fire or do we want to talk about our teams?
Let's do quick fire, Pig. Right,
I'm going to bang out a few questions for you
boys. We may do the teams on another potty, maybe a special potty for that. Because we probably will take a little bit of time to talk about our teams, go through while we're picking them.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Maybe next week we do our teams.
Yep.
Maybe let's review a line or something.
Okay.
Let's do something like that. We'll see how we go. All right, boys, I've got some quick fire questions for you.
Yep.
So answer as little or as in depth as you like, but these are just some of the questions that are on my mind coming into the season. Question one, I'll start with Corey. Who will finish as the number one Supercoach player in 2024?
Clayton Oliver.
Clary.
Say that again.
You don't need to say it again. You don't need to say that again, mate. Once is enough for Clary.
You think he's going to take his crown back as the number one Supercoach player?
I just think he'll want to have a big year after all the off-field troubles, and he'll just come back and let the footy do the talking.
After his supply has been cut off by Joel Smith.
What did he say?
Can I say that?
Oh, yeah, jeez.
I think he might need to be cut off, mate.
Might get a flag by Melbourne's PR team. Sorry about that. Just cancelled. Just kidding. Okay, Clayton Oliver, absolute beast of a footballer. can score big. Yep. Like I think Corey mentioned, he's been the best player. I'd say, like, yeah, without checking every little stat, he'd have to be the best, if not up right at the top for the last 5 years, maybe.
He's been the most consistent at worst.
Yep.
He's been an absolute beast. So Clayton Oliver is Corey's selection. Pigliadonis.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not far from Clary as well, but I like Tom Green, Pig.
You are big on Tom Green.
I'm big on Tom Green this year. I think if you track his progression, I think he can go one step further and 120 plus this year.
He's got all the attributes.
Yep. So I think it was 113 or so around that in his fourth year, maybe last year.
Yeah,
fourth year. So fifth year, generally, his fifth year is where you see them really cap out. That's actually the same year that Clary went bang and approached the 120 mark. So I think
they've got a lot of talented players, but surely that's his midfield to run. Like he's the best of the lot because he's the biggest. He's the
number one guy.
He's the number one guy, right? And then you chuck in obviously Finn Callahan, you chuck in Coniglio, you chuck in Josh Kelly around him. But yeah, he's the big show now.
Yeah, he just plays such a super coach friendly game. Contested possessions and
he's
tackles.
Just like Clary.
Yeah, he's basically the same as Clary. Yeah, if he can just kick a few more goals, he can be easily a 120 guy. So.
In fact, he's like the same kind of physique as like Ollie Wines and Danger when Danger's in the prime, but his skills are really good.
Yeah.
He separates himself. Normally those big guys, even Cripps. Cripps not bad player skill wise. Is okay. Sometimes he might get hurt with his disposal a little bit, or more not so much his disposal, his kicking of the ball, as in just throwing it on the boot. His overall skill is pretty good, but I just think Tom Green's like really, really smart footballer and got good skills. So I like that.
Yeah, I think there's big room for growth there.
So we've got Clayton Oliver and we've got Tom Green, and I have bringing in a shock selection. Not so shocking, but I've been Bont all summer.
Oh, so it's not Bont?
It's not Bont.
Wow.
It's Zach Butters.
Oh, you had to do it, didn't you?
There's no bias here, guys.
I was surprised. You've been Bont all pre-season.
I was Bont in the almanac. I was Bont on the podcast last week. I've been Bont the whole time, and I've got Bont in my team. But Zach Butters, I seen something in that internal last week that made me think he's going to go up another gear because his ability to burn away from the ball and also sidestep players and take a few bounces, I think is elite. And I watched the highlights back. He actually set up three or four players inside the forward 50. So that's going to be worth something. So I just had a quick look at his stats. So he had 114 last year, average 114. Yep. I think he could go 15 points higher than that, 10 to 15 points. He scored 184 as his top score. So that scoring
ceiling
power.
Massive, yeah.
So I mentioned about why I like Bont because he has high scoring power. And then someone like Sam Walsh, when I went through his top scores, they were like all 120s, 130s. So he's got age, he's got average, like a good role, average score is pretty high, can go better, and then he's got scoring power. But I had a quick look at his last six games, right? Have a look at this. So round 19, 101. Round 20, 134. 137. 139. 129 and 158. That was his last six games.
He finished the season off massive. Yep. If you look at his stats closely, he actually averaged 120 after the first four rounds or so.
Yep.
Because he actually had a bit of a interrupted preseason last year, if you recall. I can't remember what it was exactly.
He had a knee.
His shoulder or knee?
It was a knee.
Yeah. So his first 3 or 4 weeks, he was only averaging like 80 or 90 or so.
Yep.
And then he went massive and averaged 120 for the last sort of 16 or 17 games. So. Yep. Yeah, good call, Vic.
I'm going to back my boy in.
Until Bont plays tomorrow, then you'll probably be...
And then I'll just come through and record by myself, re-edit. All right, next question. Biggest cash cow for 2024. So who do you think's probably going to make the most money in Supercoach? So, Corey?
Colby McKercher, I reckon.
Colby McKercher, the mid from Kangaroos. We touched on him, very good. You think he'll stay in the team all year? He's worth 200, but he could probably go up to 300-400.
Yep.
From the talks of it, he's basically Harry Sheasel and he's got his role.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying he's going to go quite as well as Sheasel did last year, but something
I like it. Yep. Very good.
Hard to argue with that, Pig. I'm probably on the same length. I think Riley Sanders might compete with him. He had big junior numbers, so he can definitely find the pill. Maybe he competes with him, but I like McKercher for that halfback role.
Yeah, I agree. I had
those two would be pretty well neck and neck, I think.
I had McKercher and Riley Sanders. I haven't actually had got eyes on Sanders yet, but everyone's raving about him. So I guess we'll know a bit better tomorrow. But
yep.
If he stays in the midfield, that they're two options. Again, you've got Harley Reid as well. But biggest cash cows come from like a really low-ranked player also. So I wrote Alex Sexton down. It's a bit,
oh, yeah.
It sounds a bit silly, but, you know, for 130K and what is he, 28, moving into a half-back role, maybe he could go up to $300,000 because he's 70K cheaper than these guys. You know what I mean?
Yep. So no, definitely.
He's already got a bigger head start. So I've just written that down, but I guess we'll find out.
Yep.
All right. What is the player? Who is the player that's being slept on most in 2024? So what that means, it could be a rookie that you think is going to go wild. Could be one like someone in the top 10 you think will finish as the top player. It could be someone ranked 450 to 500 you think is going to become a primo choice. So, Corey, who do you think?
For me, it's Jordan Clark.
Jordan Clark.
He's less than 1% owned, and I personally think he outscores Aiden Young this year, who's in a lot of teams.
Very good. That's a good call, yeah.
With Young going into the midfield, it's left him all alone in the back line as the only disposal guy.
Yep.
And he averaged about 100 the last five rounds of the year when Young went in the midfield.
Awesome. I like that. That's a great insight because, I like Jordan Clark a lot. So
he's a good player.
I think he could potentially. Yep.
What's he priced at? What's he?
I'll have a look.
That's a great question, So Jordan Clark come over from the Cats. He's built pretty 460. Nicely. 460.
460, yeah. You want him to be probably a keeper at that price.
I think he'll go close.
Mm.
It's a risk. If you wanted to do it, it's a hell of a risk, like to go over Hayden Young, but we've seen stuff like that happen before. So, all right, Piggy.
Haven't had heaps of a chance to look at this, but one that springs to mind is Christian Petrarca, Pig.
Yeah.
He definitely doesn't get the credit he deserves as a super coach player. Obviously overshadowed by Clary at times, but geez, he had a great year last year, 119 point something, has a massive ceiling, and he's a guy that can almost score 200. So
he's just been amazing.
I like him. He's definitely going to be a nice little pod to consider. Doing his prime, isn't it? 27 or something? Like he's
27,
he's
28.
Right there. Like he could definitely be a 125, 130 guy.
Yep.
Yeah, so
plus
I think
he can kick a lot of goals.
Oh, yeah. And if he kicks straight as well, like he kicked so many behinds last year.
Yeah. Yep.
And the year before as well. It was like 15 goals, 30 he kicked last year or something like that off the top of my head.
Yeah. So he turned games on their head. Yeah. Which is so hard
and
to do.
It's all set shots as well. Like if you just kick a drop punt, he would be massive. So he's one that I definitely think people sleep on.
I love that. That's really good because he's never picked. Like he's never in the first.
I know. He doesn't get the credit he deserves for sure.
And you've done it a couple of times, like I've mentioned last week, and it works every time. So, all right. For me, I've got two names here because I've got Sheasel as my guy that we set on, but it's a bit hard to sleep on him after that performance.
He was pretty under-owned.
Yeah.
Like 10%. Which surprised me.
Yeah, so I think it's going to change a lot after that game. So, but I think what I mean by stepped on, obviously he's undoubted talent, but I think what I said before, he could be the best defender or an absolute premium, you know, top 10 premium all up because I think he's just amazing. So, but if you guys are going to boo me out of that one, I thought I'd pull up another name, Nick Martin.
Yeah, Nicky Martin.
I just mentioned him before as well. Great to punt on as well. Very good disposal.
20 touches, very reliable.
Yeah, so did I hear right? He's going to play off a halfback.
That's
the
word, yep.
100%.
Yep. Obviously get a good look tomorrow, but that's the word.
And average 88 last year. So, you know, can he add another 20 points to that?
Yeah, I think he can. Yep. Definitely. I mean, obviously only his third year of footy this year, I reckon.
Yep.
Mature age guy.
And Corey mentioned Holmes from Geelong earlier.
Yep.
They're around similar price, I think, something
I think
like
maybe
that.
20-30K.
Yeah, so I think they're two that I think they could almost be parallel at the moment.
Yep.
In terms of potential. So, yeah. All right. Very good. So let's go on to this one. This is a big one for everyone. Gorn, Grundy, or both? Corey?
Gorn for me.
Gorn for you?
It's Grundy will be real good, but Gorn could actually legitimately get up there with English and Marshall, I think, whereas Grundy I don't think can.
Yep, okay. Sammy?
I'm both for sure.
Yeah.
100% both. I mean, if you think Gorn can do it, why can't Grundy do it?
So there could be Gorn's a world
a
where
player.
Maybe, marginally.
So the old set and forget boys could be back again this year.
Yeah. Like I said, I do have Grundy
The
as
Grundy
well,
disrespect, I won't stand for it.
Yeah,
I won't stand for it on
that
podcast.
You put the flag down.
No, that's right.
Yeah. I'm
happy to be proven wrong.
Gorn.
Say that again.
You what? 80% Gorn?
No, I'm 100% Gorn.
Oh, yeah.
85% Grundy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
but if I get rid of one for Cherry, it will be Grundy.
This is why I put this question in, because it's a hell of a debate, right? Because, I can see arguments for all of them and all for both. If someone had Gorn and Grundy starting, I wouldn't really blink twice about that.
Oh, yeah.
I've put in Grundy because I'm backing the strategy of English and Grundy.
Wow, so you're no Gorn guy.
Only because I really like Gorn, but I'm not going to go Gorn and English. I'm going to either go Gorn or Grundy or English and Grundy. So based on that, I'm going English. So I guess Grundy is my choice. Wow.
It's exciting. We've all got three different ruck lines.
Yeah,
it's very exciting. Wow, you wouldn't see that very often. But yeah. They've been my two absolute stalwarts all preseason, Gorn and Grundy.
Yeah.
Whenever I sort of shuffle my team around, they're always the first picked in my team.
Okay, that's very good. So, sure. Rucks are so crucial, aren't they?
100%. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, you don't definitely. Want to be wasting trades on them throughout the year.
Definitely
yep.
not.
Yeah, it hurts if you do, yep.
All right, guys, here's a few names that have broken so many hearts in the last 2 years. Who's going to have the biggest upside in 2024? Nathaniel Fyfe or Elliot Yeo?
Nathaniel Fyfe. I actually think Yeo's a good chance to be a top six defender, but just the price of Fyfe is so hard to pass up.
That's right. If we're talking price, then probably is Fyfe. But if you're talking upside in terms of scoring, I think Yeo is, like you said, I think Yeo can be a top six defender for sure.
Yeah.
If he stays healthy, he can be a 100-plus guy. Whereas Fyfe, I think Fyfe will be lucky to average sort of 85.
Yeah.
If he has a great year, he might average 90. If he's,
really good. I'm leaning towards Fyfe as well. I get what you said then actually makes a lot of sense. I was probably in the same ballpark as Corey with the pricing of it. And obviously dual position Ford. Because Ford's a bit light on, so Ford mid.
Yep.
Am I reading into Fyfe too much? Because I don't think his ceiling's as high as Elliot Yeo's ceiling.
No.
Oh, nowhere near it.
Because Yeo's going to be full-time mid, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeo could potentially go 110.
Yeah. Yeo's just going to get smashed after 3 or 4 weeks of playing for West Coast midfield. And I think he's going
to... He will, but he's
unless
good player.
Big bad boy Ruben Ginby...
Yeah, he'll step up.
The enforcer.
He'll have a good year this year.
He looks like one of the buddy Bash brothers or something from Mighty Ducks. He's an enforcer.
It's a good question, actually. Yeah, who has more upside? It depends if you're looking at scoring or price.
And are you absolutely mental if you had both of them in your team right now?
Well, I'm mental.
Too much? You like mental? Yeah.
I don't think you're as mental as you think.
Actually, hold on. Corey, you're not mental anymore. That's why we got you out of the asylum today.
Yeah.
Too much risk.
I think it's okay.
Too much baggage.
Fyfe's okay. Yeo's a bit. Yeah. He's quite pricey, Yeo.
You've got to be brave to do it.
I know.
He's like 450. That's a pretty big investment for a guy that could just do a heartstring.
I can see him averaging well more than Hayden Young and so many people.
Oh, He can, like you said, he can be a top six for sure.
All these anti Hayden Young talks are really getting me going. I'm really happy to hear. Really happy to have you on the podcast today, Corey.
Don't discount Hayden Young.
Hayden Young is really
be solid, just not great. Mm.
Yeah.
I think he's 1 year.
I think, like Pig said, he's gonna be needed down back.
Yeah, I think he's one year away.
And I think he'll play defensive in the midfield.
Yeah, he'll be a defensive midfielder for sure. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Okay. So
interesting one.
The last quick
question. I'm definitely thinking about Yeo for sure.
Yeah, I know. Now I've got me thinking about Yeo as well.
Yeah.
So.
The price is just.
It's like having a toxic ex-girlfriend, right? And then all your mates like, don't even call her anymore. Don't talk to her. And then once they go, you just like.
Come back,
babe. Very good. God. All right. Early thoughts on round zero, early buys. Okay. This is the contentious one. I actually sat down and spent a bit of time on this because I've been just afraid to look it in the eyes, but I don't think it's as bad as what I think. So I gave you three scenarios. So the early thoughts for round zero and early buys is number one, avoid as many players in those early buys as possible and bank the extra trades. So use those trades as your capital. Two, use the extra trades to just mitigate and move those players in and out, or just wing it and see what the market's doing. See if all the super coaches what they're doing. Mm. So, what do you think, guys? What's the best choice early on?
I think it's best to try. You can have maybe a couple players in the team.
Yep.
But I'd be trying to avoid too many of them because you don't want to be wasting 7-8 trades in the first 5 rounds just for buys.
Yeah. The trades are so valuable, like you said about your season last year. If you had those 4 other trades, you never know.
I'd have some socks.
Yeah, you would have some socks, yeah. Pig, what I want to ask you, you're the resident guru here when it comes to all things Supercoach.
Mm-hmm.
So in all those early rounds, is it top 18 play?
In the buy rounds, yeah.
All the buy rounds, I should say, but especially all the early ones. So in the round two, the round four, round five, it's the best 18.
Yep.
So like I took that into account and I worked my team around and looked at the buys and like the way I've kind of got it structured is it looks like maybe one or two, maybe two of my best players might miss at one time, no more than that. Yep. So, you know, you could probably hold on to that, right? Any more than two to three players, then it might affect that score too dramatically.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, but like.
It just means a rookie's going to, or.
You're replacing 100. You're going to get a lesser score.
Yeah.
It's just how much do you want to do that?
That's what I'm thinking. So maybe if you try and strategize a little bit towards that, then you those extra trades at the end of the season could just absolutely be a game changer.
Oh, I know, but sure. I'm going pretty aggressive early.
Okay. Yeah. I like it. I respect that.
I'm going to use a few trades to try and, so you said if you've got a guy that's, you know, a rookie's coming in. Scoring a 60 instead of a 120, potentially 150, you're losing 80, 90 points, right? So I'm going to trade out the primo that's going to miss to another primo and bank that 80 points.
I've seen that strategy from quite a few people.
Obviously, I'm not going to do it like heaps because obviously you want to keep trades, but there's definitely a few players that I've got planned to move in and out as their buy comes.
Yeah, I really got to pick your brain about that in the next couple of weeks because,
But there's definitely a bit of a, you know, wing it and see how the market's reacting for sure.
Yep.
Because you just don't know.
Because I can just see everyone flocking like, you know, bugs to a light, right? They might be start panicking and falling over each other and just giving out all their trades and trading out stars to get someone in and then it doesn't work. And if you just kind of sit back and be maybe a calmer head about it, you might actually end up in the green towards the end of the year. It's so funny. We all keep looking at these early round buys, but I looked at the normal buys. Some of the weeks there's like six clubs missing, six crucial clubs. Like I think we're going to get stiffed in those, the traditional really buys. Yeah. Maybe round 13 or something like that.
Yep.
Oh my God, there's like seven teams or six teams of like all your premio players. So yeah, I guess you just... It is what it is.
You got to plan for that a little bit as well. But
All right, plenty to think about. So
it's all happening, Pig.
I think we've been chatting a long time here. Maybe we might leave the team reveals to next week. But thoughts on last week's potty? So first of all, Sam, how do you think it was doing the video pod?
Oh, it was good. Yep.
Yeah,
I think it was good. I think it will just get better and better as you go on.
Went better than what we thought, right?
Yeah, I think so. The studio looked great on camera.
Yeah, the quality was good. Tried to add in some funny visuals and that and just to break it up. But what about you, Corey? You watched it. So what do you think as just a viewer?
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, just missing some good feedback.
Just missing you, right? That's
the
thing.
Yeah, just missing the star attraction.
But. Yeah, yeah. It's the star of David, we call you.
No, it was really good. And like you said, it's just going to get bigger and better as you get more used to it, more comfortable. So...
Yeah, so because obviously people still like to listen to it. We release the audio as well, but it added a new element having us on YouTube and we're going to try and cut up some shorts. Sam did a great job creating some reels.
Yeah, just get a bit of engagement.
Yeah, just keep it lighthearted. Cool. Make sure that we're keeping our good banter at a high, which is important, right?
Don't take it too seriously, Pig. Is that I guess.
I never take you that serious.
good.
It's been an absolute pleasure. We need to drop Corey back off to Mount Gambier for his nighttime medicine.
Yep.
But thanks so much for jumping on, Corey, and good episode, guys. What do you reckon?
Yep.
10 out of 10?
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, mate.
I don't know. What do we reckon?
Oh, there's a pig on the ground.
there was a pig on the ground.
At full.
Onwards and upwards, gentlemen. Thank you.